Thanks for checking out the Greater Church podcast today. We're praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message would be encouraging to you. And now, here's today's message.
Hey, would you turn your Bibles with me, please, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be reading out of that today. Before we do, I got a couple of cool things that I want to kind of speak to you about before we jump into today's text. We've had an amazing 6 weeks. This is our 7th week, right? Something like that. I lost count already. Time flies when you're having fun. But here's what happens. Greater Church, we split up our years into 4 different seasons. Those seasons are kind of where we sit down. We have our growth track. We have our G groups, and they kind of are based around that. And then as a church, we make some changes just to kind of like open up some space for more people to come. In those seasons, or when they come to an end, we do a lot of our evaluation. So what are some things that are working really, really well? And what are some things that aren't working so well? All in the hopes that we can serve you better so that you can walk into the church, so that you can feel fulfilled, and so that you can live a productive life outside of these church walls and do everything that God has asked you to do. So one of our seasons, our very first season, I'm excited, is starting October 8th. So in a couple of weeks, you're going to come into church and you're going to see a bunch of changes. Not a lot of changes. We don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but there'll be some really cool changes, and we will start our G group. So the showcase is outside in the lobby. You saw them. If you want to join one of those groups, you can come out. Like I say, they are very simple. You're going to go share a time of testimonies. You're going to pray for each other. And then you're just going to go have fun. If you're hiking, we're playing basketball. We're hiking. We're riding bikes together. And we're just going to have a good time talking and hanging with each other. There's so many different groups that are out there. I'd encourage you to go out there and just check it out and try it. You don't know what you're missing. So for the most part, that's going to start our first season. And we're super excited about it. And one of the things that we're really excited about is that in the month of October, as a church, you and I, all over this community, we're going to do these service projects, and we're calling this thing Greater Together. Now, we're spelling greater with the number 8, because in that 8, we are doing 8 service projects in the month of October, and we're doing this thing together. So what does that look like? Is everybody mandatory that you go to all 8? Absolutely not. We would love for you to go all 8, but what we want to encourage is for you to get out of the church seat. And I'm glad that we're a portable church and that we don't have a building, and we're going to get there in Jesus' name. But for the most part, right now, we're the church and we're portable. So we're going to go out and we're going to be the church in the community. We have different outreaches at KSU. We have some homeless outreaches that we have. We have Clayton County Corrections that we're going to go over there. We're going to take on and put on an entire service for the men and women that are in there, for the men that are incarcerated in there. We have a foster home that we're going to throw.
He's okay. In Jesus' name, I bless you. He's all right. We're going to
go out there and we're just going to love on people. I'm excited to say that the mayor, Tommy Allgood of Ackworth, as well as Derek Easterling, erase that from the podcast. The mayor, Derek Easterling of Kennesaw, Georgia, are partnering with us, and they're giving us different service projects so that we can go out into the community and serve our city. So it's going to be really cool. I'm excited about it. The month of October is going to be that. And then at the end of October, we're having our first ever baptism, y'all. So we're going to have, it's going to be fun. Right here outside in our parking lot, we're going to have an entire party with food, and we're going to celebrate people as they get baptized. We're going to open it up during the month of October. If you want to get baptized, you can sign up, and we're going to go through a small little class just to explain to you what it is. And then on October 29th, which is our final Sunday, we're going to be baptizing our brothers and sisters, and we're going to go out there and we're going to make a party happen. They're going to probably kick us out of the neighborhood because we're going to make so much noise, but it's okay. We're portable. We can go down the street. We'll go hang out at William's house. Amen. Praise God. For the most part, it's going to be an amazing time. So that's one thing. And then the second thing that I wanted to say, Greater Church, this today marks the finish of our first cycle with our growth track. You can jump in it. We're going to be talking about our teams, what it looks like, each and every one of our teams, our greeters, our parking, our host team, our live team, which is all of our production, our worship team, our kids team, our connections, next steps, which is the administrative team that we have, how we close the back door. You're not just going to walk into the church and walk out, and we're not going to know that you're here.
Spirit. We want to be in your life and we want to make sure that we reach out to people. But all of those teams, we're going to talk about them today in Growth Track. And last week, they took a spiritual gifts test. They took a Strength Finders test to find out who their personality is and what are their five giftings. And so many of you guys, I see your faces were in there. And as I talked to you as you left, you were like, man, this is crazy. That thing is prophetic because you see your gifts and you're like, how does a piece of paper know my life? Get out of my life. And it's funny, but at the end of the day, those gifts are for you to serve the kingdom of God. They're not for you to sit home and for you to just do your life as usual. But I believe that God, each and every one of them, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about God's call over your life. And I think knowing your gifts and knowing where you fit in the house of God, being rooted, planted, like we talked about last week, we shall flourish in the courts of our God in his presence. So Growth Track is going to be there, but we're excited because on October 22nd, we're going to have our first ever Growth Track graduation. That's going to be this class and the other class starting next week. So it's going to be really cool. I'm excited. The month of October is going to be incredible. But October 5th, all of our teams are getting together and we're having our first ever team night. It's going to be in Woodstock West. The information is right behind me. There's going to be flyers on the seats next week so that you can know where it is. If you want to serve on team or if you're saying, hey, I'm a part of a team, we're going to go in there. We're going to download what this next season looks like, the next 3 months, what we're going to do as a church. We're going to show you some things that we have lined up for the church. So if you want to come out to this thing, if you are on team or you want to jump on team, please make sure that you come hang out with us. It's going to be October 5th. That's a Thursday. At 7 p.m. We're going to have food for you guys. It's going to be a really cool time for all of our teams as we share the vision. I talked entirely too much. Y'all ready to get into this word? That was horrible. Y'all ready to get into this word? Tony's the only one. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I want to read a familiar story found in Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to 10, and then I want to kind of skip over to verse 18 to 20. In doing so, I want you to lean in. This is kind of like the final installment or the final part of our Above All series. And I chose this way to close it. And it's a little bit orthodox. It's a little bit on left field. But there's a reason why I do it. And I know why. And I want to, at the end of the service, you're going to understand what it is. So as you turn to your Bible, Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 10, and then 18 through 20. 18 through 20. It says in verse 1, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he would in the mountains and in the tombs cry out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he had said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he said to him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. The next couple of verses just talked about how he asked Jesus permission to go into some swine, some pigs, and how those pigs ran over the embankment. And then we pick it right back up in verse 18. And it says, and when he got in the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with them. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Hey, if you're taking notes, and I'm hoping everybody here is, I kind of want to speak to you from this idea, from this theme. Faith is found in the fight. Faith is found in the fight. Come on, let's pray. Father, we just love you. We thank you for this opportunity we have to just sit in your presence, to worship you, Jesus. And at the end of the day, to hear a word from you, Lord, and to give you glory, Lord. I pray that you would take complete control, Lord. I pray that you would possess me, Jesus. And Father, that you would speak and that you would speak to the hearts, Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, all over this place, would you put your hands together for Jesus one more time? Oh, come on, greater church. Georgia,
Georgia is interesting. Planting a church has probably been the most difficult thing that I have done in my entire life. There has been an amazing team that has come alongside of us and that we have trucked together and done this thing together. But I'm not going to lie, man, it hasn't been simple. It's not like you snap your fingers and then like, voila, people fill a room and everybody gets the Holy Ghost and starts running around. All of that stuff, it's you don't understand how much work goes into this. But what I'm excited about, it's not the work side of it. It's seeing people week after week raise their hand and give their life to Jesus. It makes it all worth it. But can I tell you, people, those same people, they take time. When I came to Georgia, I gained probably 15 pounds. I was at 250. I would walk up the stairs and my knees would go crick, crick, crick. And it scared me. What I ended up doing was that I said, I need to stop this because I am going out of control and I'm going to die. So what I want to do is that I need to invest into my life, into my health. Understand that people take time. You're going to breakfast with one person and then you're going to breakfast with another person. And then you drink coffee both of those times. And before you know it, you're in the afternoon and somebody, hey, let's go to lunch. And you're like, ah, whatever. Let's go to lunch. I can eat. And them tacos don't play no games out here. They're real tacos. And you're trying to eat the little carne asadita with a cebolla and all of this stuff. I'm speaking in tongues. Y'all get the translation later on the podcast, but I'm sitting here and I'm eating all of these things. And then it's like, at that point, I'm like, I'm not drinking another coffee because I'm like a crackhead. I'm talking to the people and I'm like, yeah, definitely. So I get decaf. I don't care what you think about me at this point. And then you go home and then my wife is Cuban. So she's like, babe, you want to eat? And I'm like, a little bit. There is no little bit with Lydia. These are like big spoonfuls of food. And I'm like, I said a little bit. And then she's like, just eat what you can. I'm Cuban too. I'm going to eat it all. So I end up eating everything, and then before you know it, it's the late evening, and I'm hanging out. People come to the house, and we're trying to grill and cook. I ain't never grilled so much in my life. We actually bought a grill because we done made so many hot dogs and hamburgers. I've never in my life done all of that stuff. But here, you got to enjoy the weather, so you go out there and you do all of that stuff. And before you know it, I'm sitting at home, and, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're a little bored, and you go for that second bowl of cereal. Come on, don't judge me. You know you've been there with the Honey Bunches of Oats. You've done that. You know you did Frosting Flakes at 2 in the morning. And that first bowl, you got a little bit of milk left. And you're like, there's kids in Somalia that don't have food. Like, I can't spare the milk. And you put a little bit more cereal in there. Before you know it, you're like 3 bowls in. I gained a lot of weight. So what I said to myself was, you know what I got to do? I need to actually exercise. So me and my wife, we bought a treadmill. We bought that treadmill. And, you know, I've kind of been, you know, once a month probably I got on it. But for the most part, I did good. So I would get on it and, you know, I started feeling healthy. Like I ran one time for 5 minutes straight. It's a big deal. That's my PR. It's called the personal record for us workout people. We understand each other. It's a language that we talk. So I actually did it for 5 minutes and then I've slowly been kind of getting into it. But one day I'm sitting there and I'm running on the treadmill and one of my sons, Ramses, who's over here in the front, he's like, him and Levi both say, hey, Papi, we want to do it. We want to get on the treadmill. And I'm like, yeah, just come on the treadmill. And I put him on the treadmill. He starts kind of running and he says, Papi, I want to go all the way to 8. Now, understand the 8 is the 8 MPH. That's miles per hour. It's technical. I'm sorry. I'm getting too technical with you guys. But he starts with 1 and it's kind of like, whatever, 2, okay, 3. He starts kind of jogging, 4, all the way to 8. And he's running full speed. At the moment, as he's running full speed, he kind of like looks at me and he's like, Papi, I went off. And I have him by the shirt, obviously. I'm not negligent. Don't call HRS on me. So I pull my son out and I put him to the side because he was already going fast. So I bring it down or whatnot and he's fine. So Levi decides, I want to go on the treadmill. And I'm like, okay, Levi, get on the treadmill. I put it on 1. Levi is me. Levi gets on the treadmill and it's on 1, which is 1 mile per hour. And he's like going sideways with it. He's like playing. So then I put it on 2. He's like going backwards. He's like, this is funny. On 3, he starts kind of like, okay. He starts kind of like catching his balance. On 4, he's moving a little bit. At this point, he says nothing. He's quiet as a bug right now. And I put it on 5 and he's like running. He's like looking at me every now and then. Put it up to 6, 7. He's like, I'm going to go all the way to 8. All the way to 9. If Ramses did 8, I'm doing 9. And he's like, by the time we get to 7, this little boy looks at me like with terror in his eyes. His eyes are this big. They wrap all the way around. He looks at me. He's like, Papi, stop it. Stop it, Papi, stop it. And I'm going to turn it down so that I can stop him. I have him by the shirt. He's fine. But what ends up happening is that he freaks out. He tries to grab the guardrails, and then he tries to take his feet and put them on the side of the footrails. You already know what happened. He missed it by a little bit and went, you remember that? And he flew. Shh. Yeah, exactly. So he flies all the way about 3 feet to the back of the room.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, Bobby, why did you do that? He's just looking at me. And then I have to explain to my wife what happened. All she heard was, boom, 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 boom. And Ramses is there. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. And then as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about it. I'm laughing. But I'm like, man, is this not a picture of our life sometimes? Where life is moving at you fast. It was just New Year's and it's about to be Christmas. It moves so fast. And sometimes we can feel like this thing is passing us by and it's out of control and we can't move at the pace of life. But please understand that God has you under his control. He's holding on to you. If you stay on the treadmill, it's going to be fine. Life is hard, it's fast, but if you just stay in the fight, something gets produced out of you. That something is called faith. If you're able to stay on it, I know it's crazy. I know it feels hard, but if you're able to stay on it, I promise you that God is in control. We pick up the disciples in chapter 4. They're hanging out with Jesus. They did so many different things. Jesus is preaching, and then all of a sudden they find themselves, they're going from one side to one island to the other side, and they're in the boat. When they get in the middle of the boat, all of a sudden the winds and the waves begin to pick up, and there's a storm that starts brewing and starts smashing down on the boat where they start getting a little bit afraid. Is this not also a picture of life? When we come from really cool victories, we heard what God's will is for our life in our hearts. We started taking some steps. Some of us, we raised our hands and we said, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I want you in my life. And we found ourselves in a place sitting right where you are, where your life finally got in order. You finally got it together. And you said, Jesus, this is what I'm going to do for you. And you begin to start to write that blog, or I don't know what it is in your life that you began to do or that you begin to do. But in the middle of everything, when you begin to take those steps, you feel like all hell breaks loose in your life. Like, God, I'm trying to do it the right way. And all of a sudden now things start getting bad. Everything in life is spiritual. We'd be dumb to think that the enemy is going to allow you to take steps towards Jesus. Even more so, you'd be dumb to think that the devil would allow you to take other people closer to Jesus. That's not what he wants, his intentions at all. So the moment that you're a Christian and you're just sitting in your seat and you're reading your Bible and you do your little Kuna Matata and you raise your hands, you do your little flying saucer worship right around here. You can even take it up to the top and do your real worship. I don't know if that's real worship, but you can take your hands up and do them. In that moment, he's like, ah, that's fine. But the moment that you start actively pursuing the presence of Jesus, the moment that you start doing the things that God asked you to do, the moment that you start taking some steps toward that, man, I can tell you there have been moments in my life, man, where I seen the devil try to kill my children. And in those moments, you know what I did? I said, devil, not today. You're not going to have them. I began to call on the presence of Jesus. I began to keep moving toward Jesus. Are troubles and storms going to come? Absolutely. My response, though, is not going to allow or that storm to dictate the pace of my life. That's not the way that it's going to work. For I know the God that I serve. I know the God that's inside of these boat, inside of my boat. These disciples are sitting there and the storms are coming and he's looking and Jesus gets up. He rebukes the storm and they all they want to do is get to the other side. But the other side, it's not always roses when you get to the other side. Life, sometimes it'll go from glory to glory, but sometimes it'll just go from glory to glory. If I'm honest with you. They get to this other side and there's this demon-possessed man. There's nothing but tombs. And they're looking and they're like, we just came from a test and a trial. The garrison or that island, that actually means those who come from fight. Now, these men are thinking, I am going to finally get out of this. And it doesn't happen. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Where you love Jesus and you've been doing the right thing. And all of a sudden, the storm comes and things get bad. But then all of a sudden, you get out of that. And you go right into another storm. First it was him. Now it's her. The car started having issues. And all of a sudden your microwave don't work. The TV started acting crazy. And now the internet's not working. Your kids are crazy. And finally they kind of got it together. But not really, because now your husband's acting crazy. And you find yourself in a place that you're just going from trial to trial. Man, that's the way that life is sometimes. Sometimes it just comes at you. It's a season. It's going to pass. But sometimes it just comes at you all at the same time. Do I have a secret plan for you to get out of it or for you to avoid the storm? Can I decimate the storm so that it doesn't come to you? No, I don't. I don't have the secret plan. I have a God who can stand with you in the middle of the storm. But you were built for that. If God's allowing the storm to come to your life, it's because you were created. Remember at the beginning of this series, we talked about you being formed, God consecrating you, him appointing you. He put things inside of you. He put the specs inside of you so that you're able to carry this thing out. He's not sitting there giving you way more than you can handle. No, he's actually giving you enough. That's cliche. You know, I get it. That sounds good, but you don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, but I know what you've been through. As you think about the scars that are on your heart, as you think about sometimes the scars that are on your body, they tell of a story of a moment when you thought that you could not make it, but all of a sudden you were healed. You continue to move forward. And if your heart is beating today, then it means that God still has a purpose in your life. It means that you're still doing good. It means that you actually won over that thing. It doesn't matter what that thing is. If you look at yourself and you're saying, hey, I find myself here now, man, it's because God knew what he was going to put inside of you. He knew exactly how much you can carry, and he knew that you were going to be able to manage that storm in your life. You were built for that thing. My gifts are not your gifts, and I cannot handle the storms that God has sent to your life, nor can you handle the storms that God sent to my life. But what we can handle is that in the midst of storms, in the midst of pain, there is a strength, there is a faith that is found in the fight. That all of a sudden, when you see the clouds starting to get black and you know that a storm is coming, no longer do you freak out and get afraid. No, absolutely not. On the contrary, you grab some boards and some shutters and you begin to protect your family. You begin to protect your life. You start praying and calling on God. Devil, you're not going to get me like you did last time. This time, I'm prepared. I know the word of God. I know the God that I serve. It doesn't matter what you throw at me. I know who it is in whom I believe in. And you know this time that you're not gonna be disguised, devil. I see you. The devices of the enemy no longer tricked me. I am actually aware of what he's doing. See, trouble, the fight, it actually produces faith in you. It begins to strengthen you. It begins to put something inside of you. These guys, the disciples, they get to this island, and all of a sudden when they land on the island, there's this weird looking man that begins to walk out of the tombs towards them. It's just going from bad to worse. I can imagine. It looks like a walking dead. He's like, ah, Jesus. It's like, the Bible doesn't say anything about the disciples getting off the boat. I don't care what version you read. They stayed in the boat. They were like, Jesus, you played sleep when the storm came. I'm going to play sleep now. You go handle that. And Jesus gets up and he starts talking to the guy. And this demon-possessed guy, like, starts walking towards them. And if you look at him, you would say, that's a demon man, or that's a demon-possessed man, or that's evil. But in reality, this man was an evangelist, as we read in the final verse of this chapter. Spoiler alert. But at the end of it, he was an evangelist that actually went out to tell of God's goodness. So you have to be careful that you don't allow the packaging to dictate the contents. I'm on that get right, meaning that I am trying to lose weight. So what I've done is that I've kind of curved my eating a little bit. I don't do it all the time, but I try a lot. I do things like kale. I don't know what is a kale. Like, what's that? The rice, the weird rice that look like little pebbles? Quinoa. What is that? I'm Cuban. I want white rice with black beans. I'm a stereotype. I want steak. I want chicken. And they give me like these weird little grounds. And it's like a granola bar. Like, I eat a granola and you got to eat every 3 hours. And I'm talking to people. I'm like, hold on. I'm like spitting. What is in a granola? I don't know any of those things. The packaging, I don't like the way that it looks. Now, if you put a steak in front of me, bless Jesus. Hallelujah. Put some white rice with some beans over it. We have a thing called moro. The Cubans and the Hispanics all in the... We cook our rice inside of the beans so that the rice is black. And it's like, oh, Jesus, I'm about to eat right now. Let's do an altar call so we can get out of here. I'll bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. No, I'm kidding. Stop. Some of you guys are like, yes, Jesus. I do it. I'm hungry too. But I started eating these things, which, you know, it's like all of these good things, they're not, I don't like the way that they look, but they make me feel healthier. I feel better. I have more. I feel like the day gets longer because I feel more healthier. I feel better. I'm gonna confess some sins to you though. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Miami, Florida. The greatest city on earth is called Hialeah. It was actually voted. I think Sochi sent it to me. It was the funnest. Somebody rated it as a funny. And Sarucci Restaurant, Travel Channel has hooked them up and say they're number one in the nation. Hialeah. If you ever go to there, go to Hialeah. Tell them I sent you. You might want to go with somebody who has a gun. But that's another story. So here is me driving. I'm sightseeing through my old neighborhood. And there's this gas station. And they have these things called pastelito de guayaba. Some are saying, yeah. And the other people are like, he's speaking tongues? Is that? What do you say? Pastelito, they're these little pastries that have guava inside of it. If you have never eaten that, you're missing out on life. If you're Caribbean, Cuban, Puerto Rican, any type of anybody from the islands, then you know what I'm talking about. It's the glory of the Lord. So the packaging, it's like golden crust. It's like heaven. Like when you get to the gates of heaven, Peter's going to hold it. And he's going to be like, you may enter in, my son. And he's going to hand you one and you're going to eat it, but it's not going to have the calories or anything. You're going to be healthy. But for the most part,
I went to this gas station that I know has the best ones. They make them warm every, and I grabbed it and I told myself, this is how I lied to myself. Josh, I said, I'm only going to eat half of it. And I ate half of it. And then I put it in the bag. Now, I know myself. So what I started doing was I started getting like my receipts and everything. And I started putting it in the bag so that I don't go back to eat the other half. Because I lie to myself. I'm a liar. And I lie to myself and I say, I'm going to eat the other piece. So I say, no. And I put all of these, the snot boogers, I put it inside of there so I can't touch it. It tasted amazing. But 10 minutes after I ate that, oh, man, I had been eating healthy for so long that it came and I felt it right here at the back of my throat. I was like, oh, this feels nasty. I got heartburn. My stomach started to feel, I started to feel weird. Like I got all tingly. I was like, oh, this is too much sugar. I can't do this anymore. The contents were beautiful and it looked amazing. The packaging were amazing, but the contents weren't good. Can I tell you that in life, it's the same exact thing. God will bring things to your life sometimes that the packaging might not look as good as you want it to look, but God is actually using it for his glory. Not only that, but the contents are actually going to help you. There's some pain that sometimes is packaged, but you have no idea the strength that's inside of that thing. You have no idea the thing that God wants to birth inside of you. If you only stay in the fight, you don't judge that package by what's outside, but that you understand that there's something inside of it of value. But there's some, if you flip that coin for just a second, there's some things that may come to your life. And it may come in a caramel complexion with a six pack. I still have a one pack, praise God. The packaging looks really good, but the contents. Brother, that girl, she may look all good. Have a healthy posterior, praise the Lord. That's holy sexy talk. Praise God. The packaging looks amazing, but the contents will kill you. God may send some things to you sometimes that may seem like it's super hard. But man, I promise you that if you allow to peel off the package and just go for the contents, that's why I love Greater Church, because there's some people that walk in through these doors and I don't care what your packaging looks like. I don't care how many scars you have. I don't care how much you smell like weed. I don't care how much alcohol you got on your breath. We don't care what the packaging looks like. We know that there's some value inside of you. There's some things that God is going to begin to rip off. There's some things that God is going to begin to peel off, and you're going to be the thing or the man or woman that God called you to be. Us as a church, we're going to love the literal hell out of you. We're not going to allow the packaging to dictate anything. We know that inside of you, God is actually putting some things in there. This man was demon-possessed. He looked pretty bad, and the Bible says that he would live among the tombs. And understand that this man had been bound hand and feet, and he had did some pretty bad things, and they couldn't control him, and he's living amongst the tombs, and he would walk there. And have you ever found yourself walking amongst the tombs? Like, I don't mean a literal cemetery. I actually mean some of the things that God has let you go or let go of in your life, but you still hold on to these things and you're still hanging around them. I'm talking about mentally, how you still find yourself in 2007 when you made that mistake and you feel like you got to drag that mistake along. And you can't get in another relationship because you feel like I have this mistake and there's some dead things that I've been around and there's some pain and some hurt that I just can't forgive that person. I still can't let it go. And you find yourself dwelling among some tombs. There's some dead things in your life that you don't need to be around. There's some people that you know that you should be cutting off, but you're saying to yourself, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to drag this thing along. I'm going to bring this thing along. And in reality, God doesn't even know what that thing is that you're carrying, because the Bible says as far as the east is from the west is as far as he separated your sins. He's already forgiving you of that thing. He's not holding it against you, but we carry this thing into life and we think that we need to have it. Man, you don't need to have it. You bring that thing to the presence of Jesus. You cut that thing off. You cut that. Sometimes it's just a relationship. And I'm not talking to married people, because you said some vows that you can't break those things for good or for worse. You're in this thing and we would love to come alongside of you and help you. But don't you think for a second that I'm up here saying that you can get a divorce and you can end this thing because there's some dead things that you're carrying around. No, absolutely not. It might be hurt. It might be struggling, but we're going to come alongside of you and we're going to help you to bring that thing back to life. But some of us, we know that there's some relationships in our life that we know we're not supposed to be in. We know there's some friendships sometimes that we know we kind of got to cut this thing off because it's just not helping us. It's actually dragging us along. This man was in the tombs daily, and the Bible says that he would
he would begin to hurt himself and cut himself. All in the hopes of finding some type of peace. And I've been there. I've been at the bottom of that bottle trying to find peace. And all I was doing was hurting myself. Have you ever found yourself from relationship to relationship and all you're doing is trying to find peace, but all you're doing is hurting yourself? You don't have to hurt yourself. The drugs are not going to bring peace. Sex is not going to bring peace. That lifestyle is not going to bring peace. That horoscope is not going to bring peace. Running back to that person is not going to bring peace. You know what's going to bring peace? The presence of Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus. The Bible says that this man, he walks, he comes, he's full of demons, and he comes to Jesus. And the moment that he comes to Jesus, the Bible says that he falls at his feet. Jesus has a conversation with him. We'll talk about it in just a second. We ask him, what's your name? And he says, my name is Legion. Legion is a Roman term. It means 5,000s. So this is 5,000 demons that fall at the feet of Jesus. Jesus didn't even say anything to them. Come on, man. The power of Jesus is enough to help you and to heal you even though you're going through it. You can bring that stuff to Jesus and he can break it. He's strong enough to take those things from you. You don't got to keep hurting yourself. You don't got to keep hanging around the tombs. You can actually bring those things to Jesus, and without saying a word, them things have to bow before the presence of Jesus. There is nothing stronger than the name of Jesus. There is nothing stronger than the presence of Jesus in himself. He doesn't even have to open his mouth. Those things have to bow in moments of worship. You bring those things to Jesus. Why do we have songs at the beginning of the service? Is it because we're waiting for everybody to get here so that we can start the good stuff? Absolutely not. Is it to entertain you because other churches have done it and we're going to do this? No, absolutely not. It's that we want to take this moment to break every chain that the devil has tried to place over you. As you drag this old church burned me really bad and messed me up, I'm going to drag that into the next church. No, drag that thing into his presence. Drag it into worship. When you're at home, put some headphones on. When all hell breaks loose in your life, you need to go into the presence of Jesus. You need to turn away from the world and you need to just put some Hillsong, put some Israel, put some Fred Hammond, some Dottie Peoples. You can put whoever you want. Get some worship in your ear and allow God to begin to move in your life and watch. How when you drag these things into God's presence, these things begin to bow before the presence of Jesus. You're mad. You want to punch everybody at your job in the face. Put some headphones on. If you need to go to the bathroom for a second, put some headphones on and just, Lord, I worship you. I don't know all the lyrics to this song, but Lord, you see my heart. And man, when you get into the presence of Jesus, all of those things begin to break off. Little by little, they have to bow before the presence of Jesus. Jesus talks to this man and he tells him, what's your name? He's like, my name is Legion, for we are many. And it's such a beautiful picture of like the way that Jesus speaks to us. He doesn't deal with your symptoms. He actually deals with the issues. Baker Elementary, we did an outreach here. We're going to do another one through our greater together. And I remember we were back there and I was trying to pick up the weeds and stuff, right? And as I was picking up the weeds, I grab a piece of weed and I pull it up, not the weed you're thinking. And I grab it and I pull it out. And when I'm pulling it out, I kind of throw it to the side. And she says, no, you actually have to grab it and you got to pull it out by the roots. Because if you don't pull it out by the roots, then it's going to grow back. It's the way God does in our life. And sometimes that's painful. Sometimes it hurts because it takes a little bit more than what we wanted to give to God. I wanted you to take this away, but you took a little bit more than what I wanted. I wasn't ready to give that up. But God answers you. He pulls the roots out of you so that that thing won't ever grow back in your life. God takes it from the bottom and he completely rips it out of you. And this is the way that he says. He doesn't speak to the man. We don't even know the man's name. He begins to speak to the demons, the roots, the thing that was inside of him. And he begins to snatch that off. They have a conversation with Jesus, and it's beautiful because the demon starts telling him, hey, please, and I wish I could land here, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of move through this. But verse 10, the demon tells him, he's talking to him, and he says, please, he's begging them. He even says to him, swear to God that you won't cast me out of this area. Swear to God that you won't cast me out of this area. And you can easily pass by there because after that, he starts talking about the swine and how they went into the ocean and how you ain't supposed to eat bacon. I eat bacon and I love bacon. But praise God for that. That's another story for in and of itself. But for the most part, it's like that area
we think that there's government conspiracies that are placed over an area. And there's this area that is all poverty, and there's a liquor store in every single corner, and it's a government plot to impoverish these people and to make sure that they stay down and to hold them down. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. And we think that this is a government issue that they're trying to do it. And then there's another area that has gangs, and these guys are shooting each other and they're killing each other. And this area is all gangs. You can walk into the area. As I tell you this, you know what area it is that I'm talking to you about. You have other areas that you know is completely drugs. When you were in the world, when I was in the world, we knew where to get drugs because this area was completely inundated in drugs. But we seem to only stop there when we talk about government conspiracies and all of these different things, and we forget that everything is spiritual, that you peel back the layers and that you would see the devil's face. Why? Because there's other areas where you have millionaires that have screwed up all of their stocks and bonds, and in an area, there's more suicide than any other place. You go to another place, and in this place, there's more adultery, swinging, homosexuality is found in a single area where you can pinpoint it. In this area, a man who is secure in his manhood will walk into this area. If he lives there, after a little bit of time, he will question who he is and his identity. Why? Because this area has been oppressed. This demon was telling Jesus, I want to stay in this area. You got to understand, the devil is strategic. There's systemized governments. There's different plots that the enemy does. It's not just a simple, hey, I'm the devil and that's it. We'd be dumb to think that the devil, as old as he's been here, that he doesn't have structure and that he doesn't have system in the way that he does it. And he takes neighborhoods, he takes areas, and he puts certain demons on it to attack them in that certain place. You think that it's a government oppression when it's really the devil. And if you don't start praying and taking that from the root off, if we keep putting on Facebook what we think about it and we don't actually grab it by the roots, which is the devil, and we don't start binding those things up, if we don't start getting into action, walking in those communities, beginning to put some oil on our hands and start laying them on people, start walking around some houses, start believing that the God that we serve is strong enough to actually break those strongholds, there's no way that this nation will be healed, because everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. You have to be very careful that you're calling out the symptoms when in reality there's a root that goes way deeper. I've said this before from this platform, and you can quote me on this thing. You could take a certain skin color and you could take it away from other skin colors. If you put that skin color in an island by itself, guess what that skin color is going to do? It's going to hate its own skin color. It's going to say, oh, I don't like the way your eyes look. Oh, your belly too round. Oh, your shoulders are too square. They're always going to find something to nitpick to separate themselves, because that's the plan of the enemy. That's sin inside of them. That's not just hate. That's hate from the devil. And it's something that goes all the way around the board. It's the root. Jesus speaks to this man, and he speaks to the root. This man gets delivered. This man who we kind of talked about a little bit, and we've kind of forgotten about him because we're looking at the demons and we're looking at everything that Jesus did. But this man, he had to have done some pretty bad stuff to find himself in a place where he's bound by 5,000 demons. The Bible says that time and time again, they would chain his hands and his feet, and he would break them. I can only imagine the murders that maybe he committed. I can only imagine the lies that he told. I can only imagine every single transgression that he committed against his community, the times that he stole, the times that he probably got violent with people. I can only imagine the things that caused him to be so demon-possessed and to be ostracized and put on an island, bound hand and foot, because they were saying he is a menace to society. Yet, in a single beautiful moment, he comes into the presence of Jesus, and immediately, he didn't even ask for him to be healed. He didn't say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins. He didn't see anything. Jesus saw it, and he rebuked the demons that were inside of him, and that man at that very moment was set free. If we tally all of his sins up, we'd probably say this guy belongs in death row. You probably want to kill him. This guy is unfit to live on this earth because of the things that he's done wrong. I can only imagine what he did wrong. What about me and you? What about the things that we've done wrong? And the things that we continue to carry and think, God is not going to be able to use what's in my hand because I messed up too much.
If you only understood the sins that I've done in my life, there's no way that God can use me. I know that that thing that I did in 2013, that's enough for God never to use me. Every time that I looked at that computer screen, I know that God hates me because I'm a vile, ugly human being. I know that I've done some pretty disgusting things, and I know there's no way that God can forgive me. If God can take that man who had 5,000 demons and each one of them would bow before the presence of Jesus, I know that your past can bow before the presence of Jesus. I know every mistake, every sin that you've done, that God is not intimidated by it. He's not surprised by it. He's not sitting there saying, oh my God, that's too much. He's actually saying, none of it is enough because I am enough. My payment was enough to wipe your slate clean. I was the one that did it. Nothing that you did. This man didn't even ask for it, and Jesus did it in and of himself, man. Jesus has the power to wipe your slate clean. We talk about all the gifts that we have in these series, and we find ourselves in places sometimes where we're like, man, I want to operate in the things that God has, the will of God, and I want to do all of those things. But man, I just don't know my life. I've heard the messages 100 times, and I've gone back out there and beat somebody up or did this or did that. And God is not intimidated by that. If you would only bring that to Jesus' feet, he can set you free in an instant. Not only can he set you free, but he can erase your past in a split second. Everything that you did, the things that you remember and the things that you don't remember, each and every one of those things can be forgiven. Now, is there people in your life that are going to look at you and still say that you're the demon-possessed man? Probably, but that doesn't matter because you know in and of yourself, that God that you serve, he actually healed you. He actually set you free. He can actually do it. Come on, if you believe that, can you put your hands together all over this place for Jesus? Because I believe he could do it, amen? This man is sitting there, and it's very curious the way that he did that, where these demons, they had to ask Jesus, can we go into the pigs to be set free or to be cast out? Don't send us from this area. Isn't it beautiful how they have to ask permission? Why is it that they ask permission? I can tell you that. Me and some of my friends, we've been downstairs, and we've been kind of hanging out downstairs, and if you've been to my house, then you know this is true. As we're sitting downstairs, we're hanging out, all of a sudden we hear, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. It's my sons upstairs, and they're playing. So I will send one of my friends, and I will say, hey, go up there real quick and go check what the boys are doing, because I'm in the middle of a conversation. I'm probably eating my 18th meal. And at this time, they will go upstairs, and as they go upstairs, they go to Ramses and Levi, and Ramses and Levi will be sitting there, and he has them in mid-air, in a headlock. He's like doing a Randy Savage type deal, jumping off of a bed. And as the guy walks in, he's like, hey, Ramses, boom, he lands it. He's like, ha, I got him. And he's hitting him. And he's like, bro, stop. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna stop right now. Let me finish. He's like, I'm gonna tell your dad. Okay, that's it. I'm gonna stop. Okay, that's it. I'm gonna stop. Okay, go. And then as soon as he walks out the door, he's like, bah, got you. And then we go downstairs. That person will come back downstairs and we'll continue our conversation. As we continue our conversation, it's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, boom, boom. At this point, Bobby got to take order. So I go to walking upstairs, and I'm slick with it because my stairs, they creak a little bit. So I try to like go side to side where it doesn't creak. You know you do that too, parents. Stop. You try to do it where it doesn't, so you can't hear it, so he won't know that you're coming. And then as soon as I do it, I open the door. And this time, he's in the air, bro, about 3 feet in the air. And Levi's like, oh. And as soon as they see me, this terror comes on their face where they're just like, oh. Get back up. They recognize authority. They know what authority looks like. Can I tell you that Jesus has authority in your life? Demons know what that authority is. Sickness knows what that authority is. AIDS, cancer, I don't care what, diabetes. They know what the authority is. They can see Jesus. And at the moment that they see Jesus, they got to straighten up. They got to bow before his presence, because in his presence, he could break anything. This man named Jesus that we serve, he's powerful enough to break every single chain. They tremble at his feet. They ask for permission. The only person that you will ask for permission for somebody is somebody who has authority over you. That's the Jesus that we serve that has the authority over us. He has the authority over all creation. Anything created is subject to the presence, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful God we serve, that this demon-possessed man was completely set free. And he stands before the presence of Jesus, a brand new man, completely set free. Not only set free, but actually called into ministry. You've heard so many of the messages and you think like, how can I have a ministry? I'm not whole enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not saved enough to hold the door for somebody when they walk in. I'm not saved enough to put a piece of paper on a seat so that somebody can receive help. I'm not whole enough. I'm not saved enough to go back there and help with a kid's ministry. I don't know how to do these things. I can't do them because I just can't. This man, this demon-possessed man, in verse 18 and 20, the Bible says that he came to Jesus and he tells Jesus, I want to go with you. Let me get on the boat with you. You would think this man got set free. He's good. You know, Jesus gave him the Kuna Matata. You're saved right now in Jesus' name. You would think that Jesus would say, yeah, come with me. Jesus said the complete opposite. A demon-possessed man who doesn't have but minutes of salvation, he tells him, go and tell the people of your city what God has done for you. He turns him into an evangelist in a split second. A man who had 5,000 demons. A man who I believe that the moment that he walked into his neighborhood, everybody in his neighborhood were like, oh, he's back. Oh, he broke the chains again. And this time he was like, nah. I didn't break the chains. I found the God who broke every single one of my chains. I am set free. I am whole. Let me tell you about the God that I serve. Before Jesus had ever died, came back to life, and went up to heaven, this man was already preaching. Decapolis, where he told them to go back, this city of Decapolis, listen to verse 20. It says, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marvel. They were all astonished. Do you know that this city named Decapolis, you know what it is? This is 10 different cities. It's not just one little small town with a couple of little tents. This was 10 different cities that the Bible records Paul going in and being able to preach. And he starts talking about not laying a foundation where somebody else has already laid a foundation. This is a city with 10 different cities where men and women were saved on a regular. You want to talk about a man who was broken, messed up, but God called him into ministry, and so many people came to know Jesus because of this demon-possessed man. 10 different cities were affected because of his testimony. All marveled. How much more can he do with your life? You're not too far gone. You haven't done enough. You know who did? Jesus did enough. He not only paid so that you can be right with God, but he paid for your healing. He paid for your deliverance. He paid so that you can be thrust into ministry. It doesn't matter what you think or think you cannot do. It doesn't matter. Jesus has already put these gifts inside of you. He formed you. He consecrated you. He appointed you. He took some time and he planted some seeds inside of you. He allowed some time to develop. The time hurt. You got scars to show the pain. But in that time, all of a sudden, God was breaking you. You were getting these little things taken off of you. And all of these bitterness and issues and unforgiveness, God was bringing forth a fruit that now it's time for you to go. It's not time for you to just stay in the house. This man wanted to go and just be with Jesus on the boat. But Jesus said, no, absolutely. You need to go out and you need to tell people of what I did. And the results of that is that 10 different cities were ravaged by the gospel of Jesus Christ and all marveled. It's time for you to go. It's not time for you to go back home and turn on Netflix or watch the Dolphins, the Falcons, or whatever team you love. It's time for you to actually go out and for you to tell people of all the things that God has done in your life. You want to talk about that one talent? That one talent is your testimony. That one talent is you begin to write a blog about it. You begin to write a book about it. You begin to tell your coworkers. You stop going through the drive-thru at that Dunkin' Donuts and you actually get off and you meet Jimmy. Jimmy, how you doing? Hey man, let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life. I was a ravaged, messed up person, and all of a sudden Jesus broke the chains in my life. He stripped things out of my life, and I stand before you whole because of the power of Jesus. Your words have the power to begin to create life in other people, but we have to go. We have to go. I wanted to wrap this series up like this because I wanted you to understand it. The calling of God, God's will over your life, those things come without repentance. For the gifts of God come without repentance. Those things are not given to you just because you're a good person or you're a bad person. No, these things are given to you because before you were born, God already knew what he wanted to do in your life. Everything is spiritual. God has given you these talents. We can hold these talents and we can say, God, I'm going to use these talents and get so excited. But life is going to throw storms at you. The devil's going to try to rise up against you.
And in those moments, you have to understand, these gifts are not my own. These are gifts that God gave me. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to open up a door. When I open up a door, I know that I'm going to meet somebody and that person is going to help me with my business idea. My creativity is going to get sharpened by another person that I met in the back row when I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, I'm going to walk out of this. I'm going to have coffee with this individual who I met at the church. He's part of my G group. I'm hanging out with him. And all of a sudden, my company, the thought that I had in my brain has been reshaped. And all of a sudden, now I find myself in a place where I am successful because of the connections that I made. And because I said, I'm going to plant myself in the house of God and I shall flourish. I'm going to take the talent that God gave me and I'm not going to bury it in the ground. No, I'm going to plant it in God's house and I'm going to watch as that thing begins to bloom. This whole series was all about you stepping out of your comfort zone and you starting to do the things that God has told you to do. You got a gift to preach. You got a gift to write. You got a gift to sing. You got a gift to play an instrument. It's time for you to wake up and start doing what God told you to do. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to actually go. Don't jump in the boat. No, relax. Go and tell of everything that I've done. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach the lost and empower the found. We pray this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please help us to continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at greater.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at @mygreaterchurch.